Well, as a journalist, I have filed and been successful in freedom of information requests and appeals through the Connecticut Freedom of Information Commission and under the Connecticut Freedom of Information Act. I've also more recently been subject to a Freedom of Information inquiry in another job that I have. So I've seen both sides of this business that is celebrating 50 years of the Connecticut Freedom of Information Act here in 2025. And we're going to talk about this groundbreaking and critically important open government initiative with Russell Blair. He is the Director of Education and Communications for the Freedom of Information Commission up in Hartford. We want to get into that conversation, but first, we want to make sure you're going to let the good times roll and celebrate Mardi Gras in style. We want you to be part of the solution to reduce youth and gun violence. Advocate for healthier communities by joining Catalyst CT for a night of unforgettable fun, food, and festivities, all for this great cause. You can get your tickets for the Bayou Bash, Mardi Gras for a Mission, and experience an evening where music and purpose unite to celebrate lasting change. You can dance the night away with Christine Ullman and the Funky Dogs Brass Band. Your tickets also include 3 hours of live music, delicious appetizers, and an open bar. You can learn more and reserve your tickets now by going to catalystct.org/events. Sounds like fun, Russell.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it'll be a good time.
That's right. I wonder if they're going to have crawfish on the as one of those heavy apps. We'll find out. So you're relatively new to the position, Russell. We have been blessed to have your predecessor, Tom Hennick, on the program. I have worked with him in many capacities over the many years. It's fantastic for you to have stepped into this position. I've already been able to experience some training from your style and perspective, and appreciate your work.
No, thanks for that, John. And it's kind of interesting that, you know, maybe it's serendipity, but Tom and I have a similar background in that we both worked in journalism before we did this. And I know you worked in journalism, too. So, you know, that's the perspective I try to bring to this, is really, you know, freedom of information. You know, it's about connecting people with information. And that was what I did for a number of years as a journalist. So, you know, here at the commission, you know, my job is really to provide education about the law, to explain, you know, to both people, you know, how they can make an FOI request, and also to try to explain to cities and towns, you know, how to handle it on the other end. You know, what information can they disclose? What information is exempt? You know, I find that, you know, at least in my experience, you know, a lot of times it's not that people, you know, don't want to give out information. They have a lot of questions about what can be disclosed and how to do it the right way. And most of the people that do this work in cities and towns are not attorneys. And you don't have to be an attorney, you know, to know about FOI. But sometimes, you know, it's helpful to have an education session and learn, you know, what to do and what not to do.
Sure. Well, in a litigious society, it's no wonder public officials, whether they be paid, appointed, volunteers, they're very sensitive to the information that they may be able to purvey to members of the public. So the education from the Freedom of Information Commission here in Connecticut is critically important, and I hope we'll be able to convey a little bit of that over the next 10 or 12 minutes. As a journalist, were you working here in Connecticut?
Yes. So I've actually lived in Connecticut my whole life. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the town of Chester, down, you know, Middlesex County, down along the Connecticut River. I went to UConn. I studied journalism and political science. And my first job, I was a reporter at the Record Journal in Meriden, covering the town of Wallingford. Went to many a public meeting, many a late night at a town council or a school board. And then I transitioned over to the Hartford Current. And there, I did a lot of different things. You know, I was on the web team for a little while. Did some reporting, you know, did some editing, and you know, just sort of toward the end by way of attrition, you know, I kind of kept getting more and more responsibilities, you know, but it was really interesting, you know, and I think it was helpful to sort of see, you know, public meetings and FOI requests, you know, from that end of things. And, you know, I often speak about my experience as a reporter, you know, when I'm out there doing trainings to try to help make it make sense for people.
Yeah. Do you remember the first time you either had to use or called upon Connecticut's freedom of information laws to get your job done?
You know, I probably don't remember the first time, but I know very frequently early on as a reporter, I was covering a lot of police, you know, issues. And so very frequently I would be requesting, you know, reports, you know, from the, you know, from the police department. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was lucky in that, you know, I was a young reporter, but, you know, I developed a good relationship with the lieutenant, you know, who oversaw the records division, you know, and they understood what my job was. You know, I understood their job and sometimes why they might have been reluctant to release, you know, certain things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it was helpful, you know, and we developed a good, you know, a good relationship. And, you know, I think that helped the FOI process sometimes to be a little bit, you know, more smoothly, you know, just because we understood kind of where we stood, and we understood our different jobs and our responsibilities. And, you know, you learn as you go, and you understand sometimes, you know, it could be frustrating maybe when you can't get a certain record, but you learn about the different exemptions and you can understand, you know, maybe you're unhappy, but you could say, all right, I understand why I can't get this particular piece of information, you know, right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's look back this half century to the term of Ella Grasso when this whole FOI thing started here in Connecticut.
I mean, so the FOI law has, you know, it's been the law for 50 years. As you mentioned, Ella Grasso was the real champion of the Freedom of Information Act in Connecticut. It passed in 1975, so we're going to be celebrating the 50th anniversary this year. You know, interesting little, you know, factoid, it actually passed the State House representatives and the State Senate unanimously. And, you know, I've talked to some people who were around at the time. And, you know, what I've been told is, you know, maybe people were afraid to vote against it. You know, they didn't want to be on the record as voting against, you know, an open government law. So, you know, it had bipartisan support there, you know, and if you think about it, it was really kind of a radical idea that, you know, we didn't have a law in place there. Well, there was some sort of, you know, open records law, but, you know, didn't really have a mechanism that, you know, for enforcement. So, you know, one of the strongest things the FOI law did is, you know, it did put in place, you know, more of a structure for all of this. You know, it required open meetings, it required access to records, but it also created a commission where citizens can go if they feel that their town is not doing things correctly, if they're not providing them with records, if there's issues with a public meeting. It gives a really effective tool for citizens to come and make a complaint. And we have attorneys that'll figure out what happened and try to get to the bottom of it. And if we find that a town is not following the FOI law, you know, we have enforcement tools. We can issue fines. We can order trainings. You know, we can order disclosure of records. So it's not just that we have this open records law. We also really have a pretty unique commission. You know, not every state has an FOI commission there to make sure people are doing the right thing.
Hmm. Well, flashing to this very day and the Connecticut General Assembly, as we talked about for a moment or two before we went on the air this morning, there's some housekeeping issues having to do with the Freedom of Information Act that are on the agenda, but also kind of a fundamental change that is helping to bring the collection of information by the public in city halls into the 21st century, finally, in terms of expanding how they can copy or assimilate documents of certain qualified documents, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, in terms of, you know, when you were talking earlier about, you know, legislation, you know, the commission has proposed this year, you know, some technical changes to the FOI Act, you know, to kind of modernize a few things. You know, there's a definition in there about a handheld scanner, and today people are not walking around with handheld scanners in their pockets, but they might have a cell phone, so we're trying to modernize that. You know, but I'll be quite frank, a lot of times, you know, I think we feel like we're more often on defense in terms of the FOI law. You know, every year there's proposals for new exemptions and new exceptions. And, you know, we look at those very carefully. You know, Connecticut has a really strong FOI law, and you know, we want to keep that in place. You know, certainly there's, you know, new issues that arise every day. You know, one of the big ones that's come up recently is body camera footage. So, you know, all the footage captured on a body-worn camera of a police officer, those are all public videos. But, you know, there's a debate ongoing about, you know, what should be disclosed and what shouldn't be disclosed. And you know, trying to find the balance there for transparency in law enforcement, but also, you know, protections for minors and protections for victims and witnesses and so on.
Well, I think if we were to make one super pertinent point in this entire conversation, Russell, it would be that very little of what taxpayers pay for is not available to them under this law. Really, there's a comparatively fractional number of things that people can't look at or aren't entitled to look at as Connecticut citizens. And apparently, in the 50 years that this act has been around, it's been doing a great job.
Yeah, the presumption under the FOI Act is disclosure. The presumption, you know, of the law is that if it's a record dealing with public business, then the public has the opportunity to request a copy or to request to inspect that record. And really, you know, exemptions should be narrow. And I think people would be surprised. I agree with you. I think people would be surprised to learn just how much information, you know, is available to them. You know, if you want to get information about, you know, town expenditures, all the invoices, all the bills, all those are going to be public, you know, communications and correspondence among, you know, town employees and even among elected officials, text messages, emails, you know, correspondence is widely available under the FOI Act. It's really, you know, a minority of records, you know, oftentimes maybe dealing with particular legal issues or, you know, with law enforcement records. We talked about body camera, but also police reports. You know, there's certain information that they're allowed to redact. But, you know, by and large, you know, if you're interested in what's going on, you know, in your city or town, you can file a FOIA request. And I think you'd be surprised at just how much information is available to you.
And part of your job is going around to these cities and towns, if not to school or reschool new incoming or reoccurring public officials and elected officials. You also show up at other places to do public talks to help people learn more about Connecticut FOI. At this point, is there anything on the agenda in terms of celebratory activities over this 50-year anniversary?
So, you know, it's the start of the year. We're looking into planning some events for later in the year. The commission already partnered with the Connecticut Council on Freedom of Information, and we had a briefing for legislators on January 13th at the state capitol. You know, I imagine our annual conference, which we hold every fall, is going to, you know, touch on in some way the 50th anniversary. I also imagine some of our partners, you know, I mentioned the CCFOI, also the Connecticut Foundation for Open Government, you know, will likely be joining them on some events. And, you know, we do really want to celebrate, you know, the 50 years of this law. And I also think it's important, you know, that the law has remained strong. You know, yes, as I mentioned earlier, there's always efforts to, you know, chip away at aspects of it. But, you know, the general premise of the law as it was written in 1975 is still in effect today, 50 years later.
And has served as a template for a number of other municipalities, counties, states over the years. Many have borrowed from it quite effectively.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, even other countries, you know, we've actually had delegations from other countries. I know one, a couple that were mentioned recently, Mexico, Liberia, you know, officials from those countries have come to Connecticut to learn about our freedom of information law, you know, as they consider, you know, what they might do in their own jurisdictions as it comes to public records.
That's amazing. Well, glad that you're on board to help shepherd the Connecticut Freedom of Information Act through its 50th year anniversary, and I trust you'll be here for many more of them. Russell Blair is the Director of Education and Communications for the Connecticut Freedom of Information Commission. You can learn about everything that this organization does and virtually everything about the act by just visiting their website, ct.gov/FOI, or just search Connecticut Freedom of Information Act and you will find it. Russell Blair, thank you so much for the time this morning and best of luck to all of your colleagues up at the Freedom of Information Commission as well. Thank you.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate it. And if anybody needs to contact the commission, we've got a very easy to remember email address. It is FOI@CT.gov. If you send us an email, we'll try to help you out.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.